like to call the February 2019 Nebraska Commission for Blind and Visually Impaired Commissioners meeting to order. First of all, I welcome everybody that's here today. I apologize for our short delay. As you may or may not know, we here in Nebraska, we operate under what's called the Open Meeting Act law, and we want to make sure that we adhere to that. And that being said, there should be, Kathy, are the open meeting law text available somewhere here for if they need to look at it?
They're on the back table, the back of the room, or the by the door on that table, just to the right.
Okay.
It's in Braille and print.
Yeah, we have the open meeting law in the back. It's available in print and in Braille. So we do have an open meeting law. We certainly attempt to abide by that.
They also have one copy in Scott's web office.
Oh, yeah. They also, just for your information, we do have, we are in accordance to open meeting law, but we do have one of our board members, Chad Bell, and he'll announce himself later, but he's attending this by video conference, if I'm saying that right. Does that sound right? And we're trying to do our very best to make sure that we are in accordance with the open meeting law, and I think that's a good thing. So I thought maybe first we'd just go around. I want to make a we have a good amount of people here, and we really appreciate that. On the agenda, there is a couple opportunities for public comment, and how we're going to do that is when it comes time for public comment, I'm going to ask if there's anyone that wishes to speak, then I'll write it down, then we'll try to, we want everybody's concerns and questions to be heard and answered, so we'll do our best to accommodate you. But with that, I thought we'd go around the room and introduce everybody, and I'll start with myself. I'm Mark Bolger. I'm the American Council of Blind Designee, and currently I serve as the board chairperson.
Becky Regan, Executive Secretary, Dakota City.
Oh, I didn't hear it either.
Sorry, Becky Regan, Executive Secretary from Dakota City.
Oh, okay,
Carlos Servan, Director, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Robert Newman from Omaha, Nebraska, and the co-chair.
Mike Hansen from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm the NFB designee.
Kathy Stevens from the Lincoln office.
Nancy Floral, the Omaha District Supervisor. Carol Jenkins, Deputy Director, Commission for the Blind.
Connie Daly, District Supervisor, Lincoln.
Jan Brand, Program Specialist for Technology in the North Platte District.
Barbara Epworth from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm on the state rep of the OCB.
Kenneth Slavin, President of Omaha Council of the Blind.
Yeah. Lonnie Wyland, Omaha ACB.
Jim Urock, immediate past president of the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska, immediate past board member of the commission, current chair, and convention membership and scholarship chair for Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, also representing John Q. Public and whatever other hand I'm wearing today.
I'm Chris Brainporter. I'm the president of the ACB Lincoln chapter, plus I'm on the ACBN board as vice president.
Sandy Alvarado, I am part of the National Federation of the Blind Omaha chapter, and I'm here today as a licensed vendor.
A licensed what?
Vendor.
Thank you.
What?
Greg DeWall, Training Center Supervisor, Nebraska Commission for the Blind. Shane Burrish from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Barbara Lowe's, Lincoln, Nebraska, National Federation of the Blind. I'm wondering if there's a Braille agenda.
Yep.
I'm Brad Lowe's, and I'm just one of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Ryan Ozentowski, Radio Talking Book.
Oh.
Dave Robinson, Business Office for the Commission.
Well, thank you. A couple logistical comments for those of you that... Chad? Oh, yes. Out of sight, out of mind. But sorry, Chad, would you... How about those people in the Scotts Bluff office? Would you introduce yourself? Well, thank you. Welcome, everybody, again. Logistically, for those that are here in the Lincoln location, the restrooms are two. If you go out the door in the back and go to the left are the restrooms for the people here that need that. Also, the notice of this meeting has been advertised in a couple of different locations. And Kathy, would you just share where the meeting notices were advertised?
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star. It was published on the state government calendar, on the NCBVI website, on NFB Newsline. It was sent to Radio Talking Book. It was sent to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBVI listserv.
And, we are recording this meeting today, and it's important that if you want to be heard, we want to make sure that we get a microphone in your, that you can be heard and recorded from. So again, I'm just going to remind the public that there will be times when there will be an opportunity for the public to speak, and we'll certainly let you know. We do have an agenda. Does everybody have an agenda that wants one? If you don't, would you raise your hand and let us know so that we can get one to you? It's available in large print and Braille. So, speaking of agenda, I thought I would ask Robert just to briefly go over the agenda. So, Robert, would you mind doing that?
Oh, no, okay. All right, here we go. So, holding this microphone here. So, 9 o'clock. Call to order, welcome and introductions. Announcement concerning public comment periods. Meeting agenda. Open Meeting Act. Proof of publication. Recordings and other logistics. At 9:10, approval of the November 3rd, 2018, public meeting minutes. At 9:15, focus topic, the Nebraska Enterprise Program. All right, after that, old business. At 10 o'clock, we have a report from the executive director. At 10:45, a break. At 11 o'clock, our first public comment period. At 11:20, budget and biennium update. 11:40, newsline update. 11:45, CAP, as in Client Assistance Program, complaints and or issues. At 11:50, we have a lunch break, and of course, hopefully you guys read your agenda for people here. It's on your own. Yep. All right, new business. At 12:30, we are going to have an item, impact of order of selection on services. At 1 o'clock, discussion concerning executive director attending national conferences. At 1:10, revisit the dates and locations of upcoming quarterly meetings. At 11:20, public comment. Well, the 1:20, I think I said 11 again. All right, at 1:40, we have our typical final announcements, and at 1:50, wait, I was back up here a second here. All right, so yeah, 1:40, yeah, public comment. Well, then, all right. I think I made this mistake last time. It's announcements concerning typical closure and then adjournment.
Well, thank you, Robert. Our last meeting was held in Omaha at Outlook Nebraska's facility in, I believe it was, I'm looking here at the calendar, November 3rd. And after each meeting, the minutes are posted on our website, usually within 10 business days. So the public does have an opportunity to review them, as does the board. So having an opportunity to have seen the board minutes from November 3rd, 2018, I'll consider a motion to approve that, the minutes from November 3rd.
Still moved.
Second.
Okay, we got a first and second. Okay, and I'm gonna do a roll call, starting with Becky.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Chad?
Yes.
And I'll say yes also. And again, if you're interested in looking at the minutes, they are available on our MCBVI website. Next thing on the agenda, any comments?
Sorry.
Next thing, you're in an echo here, I'm sorry. Next thing on the agenda is something I always look forward to, is our focus topic. And today our focus topic is on the MBE program, and from there I'm going to pass the microphone over to those that are going to present about the MBE program.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Carol Jenkins, Deputy Director of the agency. I'm not going to go through my whole focus topic report because nobody wants to hear from me that long anyway, but it will be in the minutes that will be posted on the website. I did want to start with just a few in general things about our Nebraska Business Enterprise Program. Our NBE program is a program under the Federal Business Enterprise Program, which is under the Randolph-Shepard Act. The Randolph-Shepard Act was established in 1936, which gave employment opportunities to legally blind individuals for vending facilities in federal buildings across the nation. The intent of the program was to reduce that high employment rate among blind individuals by providing these employment opportunities. So with the Randolph-Shepard Act, a state licensing agency, which in Nebraska is the Commission for the Blind, has the ability to create small vending businesses and to license vendors to operate those vending businesses. So in Nebraska, we have 16 vendors, 14 of those are currently licensed operating facilities, and then the other two are still in training, working toward earning their license for Nebraska. Of those 16 vendors, they all together operate approximately 90 different vending facilities across the state of Nebraska. That's roughly 300 of the agency's fixed assets for vending machines, and with an additional approximately 100 machines that are Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper types of machines. The agency has agreements with Coke, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper to use their machines as long as the vendors purchase, you know, the product directly from them, so which does save the agency some money. We have two subcontractors in Nebraska. One is National Vending, and then the other is an individual out in the Grand Island area. And we do that because of a couple of reasons. One, if there's no current licensed vendors who wants to operate those sites, or two, if the agency doesn't have the money to provide the required amount of machines in order to operate the site for a blind vendor. In my full report, I have some budget information in there, but I'm not going to go through that now because the budget is a topic later. Before I have individuals, you know, talk about their experiences with the vending program, I did want to see if the commissioners had any questions about my focus topic report.
Carol,
it's
Mike.
So I did have a couple questions. The first one is, we'll get into more of this in a little bit, I'm sure, but with the situation that's occurring right now with the reduction of force for the Nebraska Commission for the Blind, how is that going to affect the NBE program, and how are you going to operate?
I am currently supervising the NBE program, and Dave Robinson, who also works for our agency, is going to be helping me with that, doing kind of the business paperwork end of the program for the agency. As far as covering a statewide basis, Nancy Floral is helping me work with Greater America to provide training to our staff and vendors for free to do basic repairs, routine maintenance, and stuff on their own, which will in turn save the agency quite a bit of money instead of paying companies to go out and do that. We're also working on service agreement contracts with vending companies across the state of Nebraska to also help fix those machines that that are more than just your regular routine maintenance kind of things. And so by doing that, we're going to reduce mileage costs, drive time, that kind of stuff, which will also reduce the agency's expenditures. Did that answer your question?
It does. So in your report, you talked about having... I'm sorry, wasn't sharing. In your report, you talked about just a minute ago, you talked about contracts with agreements with companies like Pepsi, where we can use their machines as long as our vendors use put their products into the machines. I believe the verbiage that was actually in your report that you submitted to us was that those contracts were under negotiation. So is that a new thing that we're entering into, or is that something that's been in existence for a while?
I have been currently doing that. This was explained to me, so I learned something. Previously, those vendors who have been in the program a long time took that upon themselves to work out those agreements with Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, all those companies. But I have started to do that from the agency standpoint, just to formalize that process, have signed documents, agreements. Not that word of mouth isn't, you know, your verbal agreements aren't good. It's just easier for coordination and tracking of those things to have a paper trail.
Got another one. So you talked about the two contractors that we're utilizing in the state today, a National Vending and then a private individual out in the Kearney area. How many locations are we contracting out? So, if I understood that right, these are locations that we've agreed to supply vending services to. For whatever reason, we're just not able to supply a person, an NBE program licensee to run that facility at this time. So we're keeping it in our control by supplying a contract vendor for it right now. Mm-hmm. How many of those situations do we have in place?
I didn't bring that list with me. I'm going to guesstimate. National Vending, I want to say it's between 5 and 7 post offices throughout Nebraska. The majority of them are here in Lincoln. The other individual, there are machines in, I don't Grand Island, the Kearney area, all around there. And I don't even know if I could guess how many machines or sites that is. I'd have to, I can look it up and give you the answer later, but I just don't honestly know the number right off the top of my head.
I think you've answered it enough for what I was inquiring.
Okay. All right.
And if you want to put the mic by the phone.
Okay.
My question is, you talked about having the getting the contract with Coke and Pepsi to use their machines as long as the vendor is using their products, and which naturally, if you have a Coke machine, you're not going to put a Pepsi in it. But because we own a lot of the machines, are we going to start phasing out, maybe not buying new machines, and seeing if we can get contracts with Coke and Pepsi to keep doing that, so that way the commission is lessening that expense of maintaining their machines and buying new updated machines all the time?
Chad, I am working with Chesterman's, who owns all of the Coke throughout the state of Nebraska. It's in progress. If we did something like that, you know, most Coke or Pepsi or whatever, if it's a large enough site, they're going to want exclusive rights to that. So Offit is the first place that we're trying that, and I'm also trying it with the interstate. But it would have to be an exclusive agreement, so if Coke agreed, we would only be able to sell Coke products. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's a work in progress.
Okay.
Chad, do you have another question?
I do
have one. This might be a little bit hard to answer just because of time, logistics, all that kind of stuff. Anyways, is there any sense of like how many new new of these kinds of businesses can be set up in the future? I mean, we have less money now, and you guys are doing some big ones. You've got a pretty good crowd of people working now. But do you have any sense of like we can just how much more we can grow the program? That's what I'm looking at.
Currently, Carlos, did you want to answer?
Go ahead and then I'll follow up if you have it.
Okay. Currently, we don't have plans to expand the NBE program, with the exception of those facilities that we've already committed to. So Offutt Air Force Base is one. The Department of Corrections is another, and then the VA is a third one. And those are the three that I can think of off the top of my head. Carlos, do you have more to add?
Let me get that.
Yeah, those are the only three commitments we have. And tied to the VA in Omaha, we just got more paperwork than they want to include the VA in Lincoln that they will build in 2 years. So that's still 2 years ahead. But what I like to say too is that we don't have the money to buy more machines. So we will either have subcontracts with those companies, Coke, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper, under the circumstances Carol already explained. For the federal buildings, shouldn't be any problem in case we need to subcontract with Universal Vending or another company like that. For the state, we shouldn't have a problem only if LB 220 passes, because that will mirror very much the federal law. At this point, it's not the same. We are not protected on the state. There are a lot of loopholes that we need to fill out, but that's what I wanted to mention.
Mine's not really directed at the report, but kind of whenever you have presenters, you say, for
yes.
Vendors? Okay, that's awesome. So maybe when they present, to keep in mind, I'm naive about all this, and so I'm really curious as to how the product gets to the facilities, how the product gets into the machines. I mean, are they labeled? Are they, you know, I guess I'm just kind of curious as to how it all happens, so I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
Thank you everybody for questions. I know you probably got some more stuff to present about with your presentation, and I'm sure when you get through, maybe we'll have some more questions. But those were good comments on the report that you shared. And as commissioners, we're fortunate that we have a great leadership team that gives us reports ahead of time so that we can come informed and ask some good questions. So, and I appreciate the reports that I got. They were timely, and I was able to look at them. So here you go, Carol, back to the MB program.
Mike,
you got it.
So a couple of questions. So the first one was, there was some comments about, I think at Offutt Air Force Base, you're looking at doing a, well, it's a cafeteria, but it, a contract with Pepsi where it would be exclusive. And maybe it was Coke that you were looking at doing
Coke
there. But have we explored doing that statewide? Would there be benefits? Do we have new batteries for the microphone? Yes.
Coke would be good because, you know, when you don't have gasoline, Coke will burn in your engines.
How does that work, Robert, with sugar content?
Yeah. Coke is easier to work with, by the way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Historically,
okay, let's give that a try. So, with these exclusive contracts, would that save us some money? Will we be able to get, if we make enter an exclusive deal with them, will we get their product at a lesser price? And then therefore, could we be doing that around the state and saving money for the cost of the product for all of our vendors that operate around the state?
So the first part of your question, well, the vendors have to purchase that product directly from Coke, Pepsi, whatever. So there wouldn't be, the agency doesn't pay for that, so it's the vendors themselves, it's their business. And so that Sandy, when she, you know, talks about her business, I don't know if there are discounts for the quantity of stuff being purchased. When we have Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper machines, Coke, they fix the machines themselves. Like, we're not allowed to work on them or anything. So in that respect, yes, it does save the agency some money. And so I'm drawing a blank on what the third part of your question was, if we could do it statewide.
Yeah.
And so part of the struggles that I've run into when working with Coke and Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, I've only worked with them on one location, so I don't have as much experience with them. If a site or a vendor's business isn't big enough to where they feel it's worthwhile, they're not willing to even have those discussions with me.
Okay.
So Offutt is different because it is large. And just like the interstate, it's multiple vendors, but the interstate is kind of a separate entity all in its own with the state of Nebraska. So I was going to see how this first, you know, with Offutt, the interstate, how that goes, and then maybe go from there.
Right. So follow up to that. So is there an opportunity? So some of the work that I do at the university, we do some collective bargaining. So, so for instance, all the schools in the Big Ten might get together and negotiate, say, we all need to be together, we need to buy 30,000 widgets instead of individually 5,000 per school. And because we kind of collectively bargain for the 30,000 widgets together, we get it at a better price. Is there any possibility of the vendors being able to collectively bargain together, saying, we're going to bring all of our business to you, not just Sandy Alvarado in Omaha or Jim Yurok in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring everybody to you. Can you give us a better price?
That is a conversation that the SLA and the licensee committee could have. Because we do have to work, you know, in active participation
yes.
with each other. But I do want to just say that consumers are very passionate about their snacks and beverages.
Yes.
So just for example, the state capitol didn't have a Coke machine. It had all Pepsi, and we got complaints on a daily basis about not having Coke. So, I mean, the university does do it with Pepsi, I believe.
They do, but there's one church on campus that has a Coke machine. And
okay.
You'd be surprised the stream of people you
yes.
see.
And so you also, you know, if you don't keep your customers happy, you know, vendors aren't going to make money. So that's one of those, you know, touchy subjects about your soda. But I will have, you know, Sandy was very willing to come in person today. And Connie and Nancy are going to read some written testimonies that were submitted by a vendor. So maybe she could address some of your questions much better than I can, because I think I've been supervising a BE for about 6 months now. So I'm learning a lot. There's a huge learning curve to